Good morning. We are continuing in our study of trusting that faith helps us through trials. And our lesson this morning is trusting through trials. We're going to be in James chapter 1. So if you will, find your place there. James chapter 1. And we'll be using the first 6 verses this morning. A little background about James. James was one of the first books that was written in the New Testament. And it was written by James, the half-brother of Jesus. James and the other brothers did not believe in Jesus' ministry until after the resurrection, when Jesus had a meeting with him, and then he realized that Jesus truly was the Savior, but not before. I think that's very interesting. There were some difficult times that were going on that James, and eventually he became, you know, as a pastor of the church at Jerusalem. There was a lot of persecution going on during these times, the first and the second century. The Christians were going through some difficult times, some hard times, and he was writing to those who had been moved out from Jerusalem because of all the persecution. The Romans were hard taskmasters, and they had come up with some new rules and regulations. One of them was that the Christians had to worship the Roman gods, and if they did not worship the Roman gods, they'd be killed. And so we find the time of Nero, where he persecuted Christians in the first century, and then in the second century, there was another Roman emperor who implemented the idol worship of the Roman gods, and it said that he actually killed thousands of Christians because they refused to worship the Roman gods. So that's kind of the setting that we find ourselves in this morning. And let's look at the first 6 verses here. Very familiar verses that we've heard. If you've been in church at any time, you've heard preaching and teaching on these verses. James 1:1 says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. These are verses that are going to teach us how we can have joy during difficult times. You know, I think all of us would agree that we've all been through some situations that have been difficult. There have been stressful times and some anxious times in our life. And if we haven't had them yet, we can look forward to them, because the Bible specifically tells us we will have some difficult times. And so as we look into these verses, we want to understand that stress and worry come very easily if we're not careful. And a lot of times when the difficulties come, we tend to look at the negative part of them instead of looking at possibly what is God doing through these difficult times, through these trials. We all will deal with stress at some time. 2 Timothy 3:12 tells us, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you look back at the time of Paul, as Paul, before he became a Christian, before he met the Lord on the Damascus Road, he was persecuting Christians. And if we look at Acts chapter 7, at the very end of Acts chapter 7, where Stephen is being stoned, and Paul is an accomplice. He's sitting right there with him, and he's agreeing with him. But the very next verse, Acts 8:1, tells us what the times were like. Acts 8:1 says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So Paul was writing this letter to those that were scattered, those that weren't right there in Jerusalem. And he's dealing with the problem as he sees it, and it's one of spiritual maturity or lack of spiritual maturity. In other words, the people weren't growing. Now, I don't think that there's a lot of difference between that time and this time today. A lot of people are being taught things that do not help them grow spiritually, to draw closer to the Lord, to be able to live the life, to be able to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. And we find that in a lot of churches today. We're so blessed here at Worth Baptist Church. We know when we come, we're going to hear the gospel preached. It's going to be right out of the Word. It's not about the Word. It is the Word. We need to be thankful for that. So there were some tough times going on then. The verses that we're going to look at here in just a minute address how we can trust God and live very faithfully and have triumphant faith during and while we are in those times that are difficult, not joyful times as we would think of them, but joyful according to the Lord. There are three main points that we're going to look at. The first main point in your outline says we must account scripturally. As I said, sometimes we look at the negative, but we need to look at the positive. And when we look at a trial, we need to look at it through the lens of the scripture. Not just through our eyes, but what does the scripture say? As we go into a trial, when something comes up, something that we have no control of, but that we have to deal with, first thing we need to do is to look into God's word and see what God's word says about it. James 1 and verse 2 there says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. That word count there is an accounting term. It means to consider or to deem things as a source. And what God's telling us here is that when we consider our trials, we're supposed to consider them or deem them as a source of joy. How do we do that? That first letter A there, an accounting of joy. How are we supposed to count it all joy when we enter these temptations and trials? That's a good question. How do we handle it? First of all, we have to have that faith. When we look at that word fall there, the Greek word tells us it's a word that it means being surrounded by or encompassed in. So encompassed by or surrounded by something. So we're surrounded by temptations. Temptation. What are the temptations? Temptations in scripture usually refers to one of three things. It's talking about the enticement for sin, or times of trial, or times of proving or testing. It's usually one of those three. And throughout the scripture, temptations, the word temptations is used interchangeably. For instance, here in Genesis 22:1, it tells us that God tempted Abraham. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. But then in the book of Hebrews, the Bible clarifies that word tempted. In this instance, it was used as a synonym for the word tried. Hebrews 11:17 in our outline tells us, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. But here in James 1:2, temptations is referring to a trial or a test. You know, we're going to be tested. Our faith is going to be tested. It's inevitable. It's tested in many different ways and through things that happen to us daily. It could be, we could have trials with our finances, our marriage, our job, whatever. But we are going to be tested in a lot of ways. Our faith is going to be tested. Just remember that. Notice also that James did not say if we fall into divers temptations. It says, but when. That tells us once again, temptations and difficulties and trials, they're going to come. Absolutely. The question is, for us as Christians, how are we going to handle it when they do come? How are we going to react? Are we going to be ready? How we respond is going to determine a lot of things of the outcome of our trials and temptations. So we need to prepare ourselves in a lot of ways. Trials can come in many shapes, forms, or fashions. And you know what? They're never enjoyable, are they? I can think of a bunch of trials that I've gone through, but I can't think of any of them that were very enjoyable. And I had to be honest with myself, you know, why? You know, it's easy to ask the question, why? But why does God give us trials and difficulties in our life? Trust me, He has a purpose, and the purpose is for our growth. We need to grow. We need to be growing daily. Once we get saved, we're to be set apart. We're to be sanctified. Sanctification is a process. It's a step-by-step growth process. You know, we're supposed to be growing every day. How do we grow? We spend time in God's Word. We spend time in church, Sunday school, listening and learning, and then applying what we learn to our lives. Growing, not standing still, but continuing to move forward in our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we're not growing, we need to step back and say, now, Lord, what's going on in my life? What's happening that I'm not growing? Is it because I'm not spending time in God's Word? Is it because I'm not applying that which I've heard and what you've taught me? Could be either or a bunch of things like that. Nothing, but we need to remember this. Nothing can come to in our lives by way of trial that God does not allow. Think about that. God is sovereign. He's in control. He's all powerful. He's omniscient. He allows it. Why does God allow things to come into our lives? Why difficulties? Why things? Well, if we look at the negative, we'll always be saying, oh my goodness, what have I done? You know, what's happening? But if we look at the positive, we can say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me here? How can I grow from this? It's not easy to go through a trial and have that attitude. It's easy to say, but remember this, our fellowship with the Lord is going to determine how we react when things come into our lives. Our faith is only as strong as our relationship with the Lord. That's why we need to keep our relationship with Him as close as possible. So we can count it all joy, and then B in our outline says an accounting of assurance. There's some things that we can know that the Bible teaches us that we can know about trials. When we go through times of trial, we can always be assured that it's Satan. He'll take every opportunity he can to cause us to have evil in our lives, to cause us to get off the path of serving the Lord, of putting God first. Everything that he wants is evil. Everything that God wants, however, is the best for us. In our verse 3 in our scripture this morning says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The word knowing in James 1:3 refers to understanding and perceiving. So in times of trial, we can recognize that more is happening than we can see. What can we know? Well, first of all, we can know that God's always working behind the scenes. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's always there. He doesn't stop when a trial starts and then pick up our relationship again when it ends. No, he walks through that situation with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. So we know that he's working. I believe that he works behind the scenes constantly, trying to give us the best that he has to offer for us. But we have to receive it. We have to believe it. We have to have faith in knowing that he's working. And then we can know that the testing that we're going through produces fruit. The word trying in James 1-3, translated from the Greek, refers to a testing and a proving, a time of testing and proving. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we just studied in the pastoral epistles just a few weeks ago that something has, it references in something that has been approved already. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved, past tense, unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the trials that we undergo are for the testing or proving of our faith. That process of testing and proving works patience. That's where the patience comes in. So what's the purpose of our faith being proven and patience being developed in us? It's to bring glory and honor and praise to the Lord. In your outline there, 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold and that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So the world is looking for people whose faith is not only spoken, but it's also proven. The world watches everything we do. Don't ever forget that. If you're a Christian, people are always watching you. First to see if you're true to what you say you believe. Then some people are watching to see if you can fall and they can glory in it. But people are always watching. Never forget that. In all the experiences in life that we go through, Satan's purposes are evil, God's purposes are good. And we need to remember that Satan's not our friend. He wants us to stumble. He wants us to fall. Why? So we can affect other people. So they won't listen to God. So they will doubt God. Things we say and do can cause people from not being saved. That's a harsh reality that we need to remember. We need to guard our tongue. Guard our thought press so it won't come out in our tongue. The Lord wants to bring out our best. Satan wants to bring out our worst. And never forget that, because he's just as diligent at doing evil as he can be. Think about Joseph. Think about the fact that his brother sold him into slavery. But in just 13 years, he became the second most powerful person in the world. He had an opportunity to retaliate on those who had sold him into slavery, his brother. But what did he do? He did not retaliate, did he? He told them, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God meant it for good. So like Joseph, we need to learn to account for our trials biblically. We need to look into God's word. And as we do so, we'll find joy no matter what the situation or circumstance that we're dealing with. Our second point today is we must anticipate wisely. If we could plan our life, it would be a life free from problems. But that's not a reality in this fallen world. We're going to have problems. We're going to have to deal with other people. We're going to have to deal with those people who are lost and don't know the Lord. But God tells us that we can plan. We can plan for the spiritual maturity that God will bring about in our lives through trials. How can we do that? Well, James 1:4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. How do we anticipate wisely during the times of trial? First of all, through a yielded spirit. We must choose to yield to the Lord's work in our lives. That's so important. It's a choice. God never forces anything on us. He gives us choices. He gave us a free will. We make choices every day, all day long. Choices on how we're going to act, how we're going to react, what we wear, what we eat, where we're going, how we get there. So we do make choices, and we need to choose to allow him to work in our lives, to allow him to build the faith, to give us the strength to reject Satan and everything he'll throw at us. So we need to let him know that. Look at the second word in James 1:4. It says, but let patience. We have to let the Lord work. We have a choice to make when trials come. The choice is this. Am I going to let God do the work, or am I going to try to take control and do it myself? That seems to be a pretty simple choice, but a lot of times we don't choose that. We choose the other. Will I trust in God and His wisdom, or will I trust in myself and my wisdom? His wisdom is so far greater than ours. And trials are unpleasant by their nature. But God tells us specifically, one of my favorite couple of verses, probably yours too, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our path. It's a choice. We choose to trust Him. We can choose to let Him direct our path, but we have to make the choice. It's up to us. How can we be proactive? Through a yielded spirit, but also understanding it's for a spiritual purpose. We can anticipate wisely by realizing there's a spiritual purpose in those trials. Romans 8:28, very famous verse, one that's preached and taught on many times. We know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. What's the good? We know that all things work together for good. The good is to make us more like Jesus. That's what the next verse, verse 29 says. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. The second half of James 1:4 that we read a minute ago also points to spiritual maturity as God's purpose in our trials. That last phrase in James 1:4 says that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God uses our trials to sanctify us. And as I said earlier, sanctification is a process. It takes time. We get saved and we start out with baby steps. We learn to read the scripture. We learn to spend time in God's word. Just like a baby learns to crawl and then walk and things like that. Our walk, our in sanctification is a lifelong process. And we need to be about it. We need to be growing. God hadn't promised to make us comfortable, but He has promised to make us conformable to the image and likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. But there again, we have to let Him. The phrase in James 1:4, wanting nothing, refers to not being inferior in anything. 1 Peter 5:10 speaks about that. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. God's goal is to bring us to a place of fullness, wholeness, and maturity in Him. But it takes time. It takes time. You know, some things, I remember the moment I got saved, I had a sailor's mouth, a filthy mouth. God immediately took that away from me. But there's some other things. He didn't take immediately. I had to learn. I had to train myself to change some things. With His grace, with His help, I've been able to do it. I still battle some things, and if you are honest, you probably do too. I still have a problem with anger. It's only about like this, okay? Don't believe that, okay? There's still swamp land in Florida. But I still struggle with it. But Lord has continuously, He's grown me to the point way from where I used to be to where I am now, but I've still got a ways to go. So sanctification is a process. It takes time to learn some things. And then we go to our must move to my third point, or I'm going to get cut off. We must access faithfully. In addition to the Word of God, we have another key resource to draw upon as we go through trials and difficulties, and that's prayer. These are not things we don't know, but these are things we need to remind ourselves of when we come into a situation that we can't handle ourselves. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. One of the most important things that we can do for as we pray is to ask for wisdom. One of the things I try to do every day is thank the Lord for another day and yield myself to Him. Say, Lord, I want to die to self today. I want You to be preeminent in my thoughts and actions today. But Lord, I need Your wisdom today too. Every day I need His wisdom. God promises if we ask, He'll give it. He said, not a problem. James 1:5-6, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. Then we may ask God. The good thing is our wisdom truly is inferior to God, His wisdom, thankfully. The word that's translated lack there in verse 5 means to be destitute of or be inferior to. So the first step in gaining God's wisdom or His perspective on things is His wisdom, is to recognize our own limitations. We're limited. Our mind is finite. His is infinite. He has all the wisdom. He has everything we need. So what is wisdom? What is wisdom? If you had to define it, I wrote this down. Wisdom is knowing how to apply biblical truth to everyday circumstances. You can add a lot of things to that, but think about that. Wisdom is knowing how to apply biblical truth to everyday circumstances. There's nothing that's too small or too big to ask the Lord for wisdom. He'll give us the wisdom He needs. He won't laugh at us. He won't mock us. He said, ask and it shall be given you. And He gives it to us. It says, unbraid it not. He's not going to revile us or anything like that. He's going to give us the wisdom that we need if we ask in faith, believing. So we can ask knowing that He'll answer our prayers. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He's an unending source of all knowledge and understanding. He is, not we are. He is. So we can ask God for help, but we will be helped. The final words of James 1:5 hold forth a wonderful promise. It shall be given him. If we ask, there's no doubt it will be given us. Psalm 6:9 says, the Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. And then two of my favorite verses, and probably yours too, Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. On the back of your outline, I'm going to stop there because I'm out of time. But on the back of your outline, I want you to jot something down. Scripture gives us 5 steps that we can use to find joy in the midst of our trials. Write these 5 down. I don't have time to go through the scripture. I'm going to give you the steps and then the scripture. And then you can look the scripture up later. Some of it we've already covered. Step 1, understand God has a sovereign purpose in a trial. God takes every circumstance in our lives and turns it toward His primary purpose for us. What is that? To help us to be conformed to the image of His Son. We can trust through every trial that God's working all things together for our good. Romans 8:28-29. Step 2, pray for wisdom. God freely offers us all the wisdom we need to navigate every single situation that will confront us. But we have to ask Him for it. James 1:5 is the scripture. Step number 3, realize it's temporal. No matter how severe a trial or situation or temptation is, we can rest assured that it will not last forever. It can go on for a while. Look at Paul. He asked 3 times for the thorn to be removed. And as of the moment that he cut his head off, he was still dealing with it, but from that moment on, he was not. Even if a particular trial lasts a lifetime, we can look forward to eternity with no suffering. Scriptures, 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. Step number 4, trust that God knows what He's doing. Nothing takes God by surprise, and He is not experimenting with your life. He's in control of every situation and at work to bring about your spiritual maturity. That's His goal, that we might be perfect, mature. James 1:4. And then step 5, remember it is for our growth. Trials allow us to know a fellowship with the Lord that we can know or wouldn't experience in any other way. Situation gets tough, our relationship with the Lord draws closer. As we turn to the Lord in our pain, we grow in understanding of who He is and just how much He loves us. The scriptures, 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. Take that and post it on your refrigerator or your mirror when you begin to go through a trial. It's nothing new, but it will help us to remind we can have joy in the midst of trials, temptation, and difficult situations. There's no need to stress about it. Give it to the Lord. Father, we thank You once again today for Your word that guides. Help us, Lord, as You test and try our faith, that it will be strong. Help us this week to draw closer to You, to spend more time with You in Your word, to spend more time in prayer and allow You to speak to us, Lord, and then help us most of all to take what You give us and apply it to our lives that we might become stronger, better Christians for You. Thank You, Lord, for loving us, as I often say many times when we're unlovable. Thank You for never leaving us, never giving up on us, always being willing to help us, love us, to give us the wisdom that we need when we need it. We'll thank You and praise You and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.